Well, greetings, all of our family and friends. I want to welcome you to our Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. It is a blessing to be with you today. I believe God is going to speak in a tremendous way. Thank you for joining us. This is April the 17th, 2024. Thank you for coming in. We believe God is going to speak in a tremendous way. So if you would share the podcast, like the podcast, let somebody know we are on. So good to see you, Anna Rosa. Thank you for being with us. Sister Deborah, thank you for being with us. Nina Campos, Brandy Lawson, God bless you. So good to see you. Sister Sandra, so good to see you. Sister Julie, Sister Lisa, Sister Nikki, God bless you. Brandy, thank you for being here again. Sister Jackie, Maggie Martinez, Violet, we pray the blessing of the Lord over each of you. I'm going to prepare in just a minute to get into the word of the Lord, and I believe God is going to speak in a tremendous way, and that God is going to be glorified, and that his purpose is going to prevail, and that we're going to see just mighty things in this season. So if you would go ahead and do that work of the evangelist and share the podcast, you'd grab that phone. So good to see you, Brother Danny Bonet. The Lord bless you, man of God. Beatrice, thank you for being with us, watching from Hesperia. Yes, if you'd let us know where you're watching from, we want to keep that place and that area in our prayers. We are in, I believe, the last days. It's not hard to discern that. And it is a time of redemption. The scripture tells us that you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation, famine, pestilence, earthquakes in different kind of places. He told us this a few last year, more than a year ago. Be ready to see earthquakes in places you don't see earthquakes normally. I think we saw the last couple of weeks there was an earthquake in New York, 4.8, 4.9, right around there. We're going to begin to see things, and it's a sign not to fear or to worry, but the end of an age, not the end of earth, not the end of time, but a new age, a new season is beginning, an end of the age or the eon. There's a set period of time, and a new time is beginning. Bless you as well, Sister Beatrice. Thank you for being with us again. But I'm going to ask you to do that work. We're going to get started. If you'd grab your phone and you just begin to hit that share button, and you'd do the work of the evangelist and let everybody know that we are on, so that we can release the word of the Lord. Bless you, Brother Z. Thank you for being with us. Sister Tracy, the Lord bless you. I'm going to get straight to the word of God. Let's start with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask that God would minister to us, and that there would be a release of his mind and his word, and that he would be glorified today. So let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we ask you to speak to us words of wisdom, knowledge, and revelation. Give us your counsel. Give us your thoughts. Give us your mind, that we would understand the depth and the height and the width of God, to know the mind of God. I pray now and invite the spirit of the sons of Issachar to know the seasons and the times, and what the men and women ought to be saying, doing, and praying in this season. We're praying that you would get glory, that he would get honor, and that he would be exalted in everything that we are doing. So if you would just agree with me. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Open up our understanding. Grant to us counsel. Grant to us mysteries and revelation. Grant to us the wisdom of your word, and cause us to see and hear your word with power, with victory, and with authority. I ask you to open up understanding, revelation. Let miracles come from the teaching of your word and be glorified in this line. I pray that even on the podcast, even the replay, let the miracles of God begin to minister. Release your glory and your power. This I pray in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree with the man of God, say amen and amen. Thank you again, Sister Dana, Dana Elizabeth. Thank you for being with us. Gloria, thank you for being with us in Jesus' mighty name. Jennifer Rogers, are you preaching Sunday? Yes, we're going to be back in our pulpit. It's going to be a wonderful time at This Rock International. We'll be here tonight. God is going to minister, but let's get straight to the word. So good to see you, Sister Londa. The Lord bless you. Shamila, thank you for being with us. Let's get right to the word. China and George, Romans chapter number 8 and verses 21. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 21. We're going to start there. And the Bible says this is our key verse for this podcast, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I've got to relay this, and I'll say it over and over because it bears repetition and we must get it in our spirit. Man, bless you, Denise. Bless you, Brother Frank. So good to see you. That creation has a being. Everything created has a sound, has a source. The thing that you see that seems to be inanimate, without life, without its own, it's connected to the life source, which is God. God made everything you see. God is the Father of lights, the Father of spirits, and the Father of glory. The Bible tells us He's the Father of light, the Father of spirits, and the Father of glory. According to the word, He is the creator. He is the originator. All things flow from Him. By Him, all things exist, and in Him, all things exist. But we've got to realize everything created. Remember, the mountains can sing and the trees can clap, according to the book of Psalms. They make a sound. So everything created without a son or daughter in authority is groaning. Verse 22, they can put that up there. Blessings, Pastor, Pastora, Lorraine, so good to see you online. Brother Reuben, God bless you. So good to see you. Cousin, God bless you, cousin. Verse 21 says, or 22, for we know that the whole of creation, or everything created, is making a groan and a cry of travail. That means everything existing, bless you, Sister Melissa, everything existed is making a sound. Everything existed is making a sound. Everything that you see, everything you cannot see, there's a sound wave or a sound frequency in it. We understand, according to your word, according now to quantum physics, that there is a sound in everything that exists. There are sound waves in all matter. All that is neutron, proton, electron, the basis of all matter, what makes up this microphone, is sound. And we know that science is catching up to the Bible, because in the beginning, God said, let there be, and there was. He spoke a thing, and it was. He decreed a thing, and it was established. So everything existed, the homes and the cars, the animals and the plants, the waves and the oceans, the wind, every sphere of influence, Hollywood and government and business and education and arts and entertainment, every sphere, the church system has a sound, but it is under a groan. It is a cry. It is a pain. It is a travail waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Everything created. Verse 21 says, the creature itself shall be delivered from the slavery or the bondage of corrupted leaders. I'm going to say this again, and I'm not going to get too much into this. This week there was a lot of there was a lot of uproar, I'll say, online about a church who had a former male stripper. And again, I don't talk about too many things too often, but there was a male stripper in a place. It was a conference center, but they had turned it into a church. And in the altar area, this dancer, whoever it was, maybe he's saved now, who knows, but the man of God, if he was, he should have kept his shirt on one. Shouldn't be any poles in the house of God. And it's just ridiculous, the extremity of delusion, to believe that men need this extracurricular entertainment to be stimulated in their spiritual man. But let me encourage you, the Holy Ghost is enough. The word is enough. The glory is enough. So without the Holy Ghost, we've got to, I think even in the previous year, whatever this church was, they had monster trucks in there. And I heard that I saw a monster truck the previous year, and they had flamethrowers. I had all this, and nothing wrong with entertaining, but a church is not an entertainment center. hear this by the Spirit. And the man of God, a man of God stood up and in essence, he said he wasn't rebuking, but he was rebuking this spirit of Jezebel that had crept. And he is exactly correct. He's not over spiritualizing. There is a spirit of Jezebel. Bless you, Sister Nadine. So good to see you all the way from South Africa. Let me encourage you. The word Jezebel is Baal has lifted. And there are many churches and ministers and pastors who God has not raised them up. Baal has risen them up. And in order to keep their allegiance, they can't talk about the blood. They can't call on the glory. There's certain things they can't touch. There's certain areas, holiness and pureness. You'll never hear these things in these kinds of circles. And if you call them out, you'll be blackballed. But let me encourage you, God is going to bring these poles down, these demonic forces. And one of these pastors got up and began to rebuke. And I was glad to see that. And it was encouraging. But I guess a little bit later on, he went back out and recanted his rebuke. You got to hold on to that rebuke in the name of Jesus. Let me encourage you, this spirit of corruption, this spirit of perversion, this spirit of compromise, this spirit of seduction in high places, God is exposing and yet going to expose. And it's not a person. You cannot be mad at people. There's a spirit behind these forces. It's called bondage through corrupted or perverted power. Bless you, Tricia. God wants there to be a holiness, and none of us are perfect. None of us do it right. But there are prerequisites to leadership in the house of God. There are ordinances. No, none of us have everything perfect. But let me encourage you, there are certain things and standards that have to be in place as leaders and things we do not do in the house of God. So let me encourage you, God is going to expose this mess. And to have this perversion in places that are called houses of worship, he's going to deal with these pastors who are not after his heart. So let me encourage you, this corruption, this perversion, we should talk about it private. No, public shame and public perversion requires public rebuke. And in this instance, where is that in the Bible? Matthew 18 does not apply to a public decision to publicly do something in a house of worship or that's supposed to be, that needs a public correction. Why? You're setting precedence. And this is why Paul the apostle in the book of Acts rebuked Peter publicly, because he was producing public division. Sometimes you gotta call this stuff out publicly and open your mouth and say, we stand with the word. We stand upon the promise. Also this week that passed, we saw some attacks on Israel, drones, and we know, and we're praying over Israel. Let me remind you, no matter what public policy is, no matter what the government says, no matter what presidents, prime ministers, they decide to follow this or change that. I heard an apostle say this weekend, and I'm echoing this, I stand with Israel. Now, Israel needs to repent because Messiah has come. And that's a big thing. That's an important thing. But there are those remnant in Israel that do believe Jesus, the Messiah, has already come. And I believe for the sake of that remnant, that special people, I believe God is calling us, according to Psalms 122, to pray for Israel, to be those that intercede for Israel. So here's what 21 says, Romans 8:21. I just had to say that there is foolishness happening. And it's in high places, and God is going to bring this thing low. I'll say this again by the Holy Ghost. There is perversion, there is compromise, there is bribery in high places, and the scripture says that God is going to deliver the church, the people of God, but also creation from the bondage of corrupted leadership into glorious freedom of the children of God. Are you hearing by the Spirit? God wants to release purity, power, victory, potency into the kingdom. Isaiah chapter number 60, actually we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. God wants to produce freedom. God wants to release freedom into the kingdom of God through the people of God. Here is what the scripture says. Now the Lord is the Spirit that removes veils. He is the God of revelation. Go back to 16. I heard God say something as I was preparing this morning for this time. Nevertheless, when your heart will turn to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. I've got to encourage you. God is about to remove some veils. God is about to make clear what has been confusing and what has been in shadows and what has been in parables and mysteries. God is going to make clear to you a veil is about to be taken away, and you're going to see, verse 17, the Spirit of God. Now God, the Lord, is the Spirit that removes veils. Remember, veils are meant to block vision. Curtains are meant to separate sight and access, but God is saying the veil was torn, and the Spirit of God wants to remove the veil. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God wants to produce freedom in nations. I'm going to say that by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to reiterate that God wants to release freedom in nations, in cities, in communities, in countries, in continents, in spheres of influence. God wants liberty. The one thing as we travel the nations of the world, the one things as we travel into different cities and countries and states and hit different continents, there is a problem. There is corruption in high places, which is producing slavery, bondage, a lack of freedom. But God, He desires to release freedom. How is it going to happen? I'm glad you asked. It's called glorious liberty that comes from God's men and women. Go to Isaiah 60 and verse number 1. Glory is freedom. Glory is freedom. God wants to release glorious freedom. Here is Isaiah 60. As I was praying, I heard this word, arise. I'm gonna need you to write that, if you would, in that comment section. God wants me to arise. He wants you to elevate. He wants you to ascend in the Spirit by descending. God must raise up a church in whom the gates of hell will not prevail, which means you're going to have to learn to have thick skin and be confrontational with love. You're going to have to say what God said. In order for you to rise, something has to fall. This is the law. This is the law. Bless you, Pastor Laura. So good to see you, Bayoun. God bless you and your husband, Pastor Andy, and the Vision Church family. God wants to release a grace for you to come higher, for me to come higher, for there to be access into deeper realms and to grow. Number one, elevation. God wants elevation through us descending. If you would go to Ephesians 4 and verse 8, in order to go up, you've got to go down. In order to elevate, you're going to have to descend. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he left captivity captive. Verse 9 says, we've been in this scripture, verse 9 says, that there is an ascension, there is a raising, that he ascended. Now, he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. I'm going to read this again. In order to ascend, there must be a first descension. Coming low lifts you high. This is God's order. Now, that's not man's order. Man's order tries to claw to the top. Man's order steps over, compromises, steals, lies. Many of these spheres of influence in Hollywood, many of these spheres of influence in government, in business, it requires compromise. The gatekeepers in the last generation require you to stain your hands. And so this is why this Me Too movement begin to really be exposed. Bless you, Brother Ryan. So good to see you. Bless you, Sister Teresa. The Lord bless you, woman of God. Bless you, Pastor Edie. This is why this Me Too in the 70s and 80s and 90s and even still today, it requires a sacrifice to compromise sexually, to compromise morally. That in order for me to let you through this door, I can't let you through with your hands clean. I've got to take something from you, take your name. And oftentimes they would work. I heard about this, and I in the spirit got, I heard this, and it would be recorded, and they would hold these videos and these tapes, and they would hold these images over them to manipulate them, to keep control of them. Bless you, Prophet Rush. But I declare there is a remnant rising in the earth that will not be bought, that will not be bribed, that will not compromise the word of God. I said, there is a remnant. Maybe it's not everybody. Maybe many people are after money and cars and fame and to have their names and lights and to have mega churches at any cost and to do what they need to do to get what they can. But there is a people that God is about to raise up, not Baal. There is a people that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 speaks of a generation that overcome the enemy. They cannot be bought. They cannot be bribed. They cannot be intimidated. They will not compromise the word of God, the truth of the word, and they are coming into the kingdom of darkness to take everything the enemy took. They are coming with boldness and with power, and they will overcome him and them. The spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of Baal, the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of the harlot in the last days, who the kings of the earth have drunken with the wine of her fornication and eaten from the table of her delicacies. This is a spirit of bribery to buy and to hold and to keep. But the Bible says there is a group that overcame them by the blood of the Lamb. Number one, the sacrifice that Jesus died to give. His blood, the Lamb's blood, the propitiation. Number two, the word of their testimony. They've learned to speak the word of God. They've learned to testify of what God has done. That word testimony is the Greek word martyria, which means sacrifice. Or we get the word martyr. To die, to lay down your life. And they love not their lives unto, not that they were careless, not that they were reckless, they were willing to die, so they did not die. Your Bible says, if you seek to save your life, you've lost it. But if you lose it for my sake, there again, you found it. Bless you, Sister Rose. Bless you, Sister Gloria. The Lord bless you. Go back to Isaiah 60, verse 1. Number one, there is an elevation coming through a descended people. A people who are strong, a people who are bold, a people who are righteous, a people who walk in integrity, who will not compromise, who are not going to slip and dip. What's that mean, slip and dip? They're not going to date members in the church. They're not going to compromise and connect with people who are not their husband or their wife, that don't want to drink and smoke and cuss and steal and rob. There is a people who fear the Lord in the earth. There may not be many of us, but there are a remnant that actually have a reverence of God, the fear of the Lord. Bless you, Sister Marissa. I said there are those who fear God. They reverence him, not because they're afraid of him as a tyrant, but you understand it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You cannot play with God. You can. It's like your mama. You love your mama, but you didn't mess with mama. You know, mom, you didn't say no to mom. You didn't talk back. You can be grown. You can have kids of your own, but you still don't talk back to mama. There was a reverence that came from mama. You understand this? By the Spirit of God. Arise, number one. Number two, shine. There is an elevation. Number two, there is an illumination about to come. There is a revealing of the light that is going to expel darkness. Demons are coming low. Devils are coming low. Compromised churches and mega denominations and mega ministries are coming low. Governments are coming low. He said, I'm going to cause the mountain to be made low and the valley to be made high. I'm going to make the crooked way straight. I'm going to make the rough places smooth. I'm going to break in pieces the bars of brass and the gates of iron, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I'm raising up some and I'm pulling down others. God said, I'm lifting those whom I will, and I'm descending those who I will. It's up to God. It's not up to me. Arise, number one, elevation. Number two, shine, to illuminate. What does that mean? To expel darkness. I said to expel darkness. That is a radical war, and to expel the darkness. Bless you, Michelle. So good to see you, cousin. God wants to use you to expel the darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then he said, you now are the light of the world. Shine in the earth. God wants you to shine. God wants you to rise and shine and expel the dark. Arise and shine. But I heard this next statement. Thy light has come. I need you to write this. My light has come. Write it down. Put it in the comment section. Say it. My light. I said, God, what does that mean? He said, I'm about to come to my people and show them answers. I'm about to reveal mysteries. I see you, man of God. I see you, woman of God. And you are searching God's heart. And you're looking for the will of God. You're looking for destiny. You're trying to do the will of God. But it's been dark around you. And you've been seeking His will. And you've been searching for the mind of God. And you've been pressing in the answers. But I need you to hear me by the word of God. Your light is about to come. I said, your light. A specific word. Where is that in the word? Psalms 119, verse 130. Psalms 119, verses 130 says, the entrance of His word gives light. I hear God. God said, I'm about to come to you like I came to my prophets. I'm about to show up, and when my word comes to you, it's going to illuminate. It's like a light bulb. I see you're going to have the answer that you've been looking for. You're going to have the direction you've been looking for. It's like you've been working in the dark and you've been seeking with all of your heart. God says your light is about to come. Your answer is about to come. The mystery is about to be made clear. You've been trying to figure this thing out in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You are humbling yourself. You are seeking. You are praying. You are fasting. You are taking communion. But hear me by the Spirit. The Word of God is about to enter your mind. It's about to enter your thoughts. His light for you. Your light is about to come, and His Word is about to enter your mind, your thought. Your understanding. Where is that? Jeremiah 1 verse 4. I heard this. He said, tell the people of God, their light is coming. Their revelation is coming. Here is what Jeremiah said. Then the word of the Lord came to me. You see, we read over this. Ezekiel, it came. Then the word of the Lord came. What does that mean? It just came to me. The word came to me. And when the word comes to you, you're going to know what to do and how to do it. The word of God, He said, tell them that their light is coming. And I'm going to show them the answer. I'm going to show them what has been working in the darkness. And when the light comes, the entrance of His word gives knowledge and understanding. You're going to be clear. It's going to be simple. It's going to be made plain to you. I heard this by the Spirit. He said, tell them the word of the Lord is coming to them. The promise of God. God is going to speak directly to you and make it clear, sir. Clear, ma'am. And when the word comes, look at Isaiah 60 verse 1. When the word comes, Isaiah 60 verse 1. When the word, my light is coming, my word is coming. Then the glory of God rises on us. You hear me by the Spirit. There's something in you that's about to erupt. It is a power. It is a force. It is an endowment from God. It is an unction from the Holy One that's about to awaken on the inside of you a realm, a dimension, an atmosphere. Remember, in the Old Testament, the glory of God is an atmosphere. In the New Testament, the glory of God is a person. I'll repeat that. I heard that said by a man of God in Africa some years ago. In the Old Testament, the glory of God was an atmosphere. And yes, you are going to see atmospheres change. Hear me by the Spirit. There are going to be atmospheres. There are going to be realms that are released into the earth realm. Dimensions of God's atmosphere that are going to fill places. But greater than a place, it's going to be a person. Where is that found? John chapter 1 verse 14 tells us, John chapter 1, that the word became flesh. The gospel of John 1:14, and the word was became flesh. That the word became reality. God is about to send you the word. And I heard this by the Spirit. Every word becomes a world. I heard it loudly this weekend. Every word becomes, and the word became flesh and manifested among us. What you're believing is about to manifest. Hear me, sir. Hear me, ma'am. Hear me, woman of God. Hear me, man of God. Hear me, child of God, obeying the word of God. What you believe, you're about to see. You're going to live in this thing. You're going to drive this thing. You're going to lay hands and give this thing away. You're going to cast this. You're going to see God manifest the promise of God. The word is going to be made manifest. It's going to be made flesh. The spirit promise is going to become tangible and dwell with you. You're not going to visit this breakthrough. You're going to dwell in this breakthrough. I said, you're going to dwell. And we beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. So now the glory that was an atmosphere that would fill temples, fill the vessel, fill the man. That man's name was Jesus, the first son of the living God, not the only son. He's the only begotten from the womb, but he died to bring many sons to glory. He's the first among many. And now he says, I want you to realize. Hebrews 11:3 put it there. I heard this also loudly this week, that every word is framing a world. I said, every word is framing a world. Through faith, we understand that worlds are framed by the word of God. And a word from God, a word from your God, frames the kingdom of God. A word from the prince of darkness, a lie, frames a world from the kingdom of darkness. Words frame worlds. It's like the lens of a camera. I'm looking into a camera, an expensive camera. Help us, Holy Ghost. But I'm looking into this lens. And when we bought the camera, you bought the camera. We said, praise God, not that expensive. But we had to buy this lens. And the lens was more, twice or even triple the cost of the camera. It's just a lens. I mean, it's just but the lens, the definition you're watching, it's how you view the image. The lens gives it definition. The lens, it processes. And I think this one's a 5K lens, and we've got another lens inside the church. It's a 12K, and they don't even have 12K yet. They said, you're ready for 5 years. And I want to tell you, the word is the lens through which you see the world around you, the view that you see the world. And the Lord said, I'm about to open my kingdom to those who are looking through the right lens, who refuse to let the devil take them out of the right lens. I'm about to see when the kingdom opens, when you don't align with any other word. There's no word but the word of God. There's no promise but the promise. You see, there are other words that want to whisper in your ear. It ain't ever going to make it. You ain't ever going to change. It's not going to get better. I know you heard the word from the devil. I heard the word from the devil too. But the devil doesn't belong in my ear. He belongs under my feet. And every time I listen to that word and I throw a pity party and I get into this funk, it's me believing the wrong word. And God will not disqualify me because I battle with a wrong word, but he won't promote me till I get victory over this thing, because a word creates a world. Are you hearing? It is a lens through which you see a reality. And the lens through which you see a reality can be skewed toward the kingdom or toward darkness. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand the word was framed. The word, the worlds were framed by the word. So the thing which you see was not made of the thing that is appearing or visible. The natural world came from the supernatural world. The visible world came out of the invisible world. The realm I see came from the realm I cannot see. This thing you see came. There's a word that's going to frame the world. And God said, tell the people, the word is coming to them. The promise is coming to them. The decree is coming to them. The answer is coming to them. Like Jeremiah said, your word came to me. Like Ezekiel said, then the word came to me. There's a coming of the word. He's coming. Here is what John 10 verse 10 says. The thief comes to steal, and he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. But I have come that you would have life. See, the only way the devil and God are the same, they come the same way in your mind, in your thoughts, in your thinking, in your spirit man. The thief comes not, but I've come. See, the only way God and the devil are the same, they come the same way. They come in words or thoughts. A word is a communicated idea, a concept. It's a lens through which we see the world around us. Are you hearing? God wants to give you his word. so that he can come, not to steal, not to kill, not to destroy. When you feel theft, when you feel death, when you see destruction, it is a sign of a wrong word, a wrong thought. He's stealing my joy. He's stealing my health. He's stealing my finance. He's stealing my peace. He's stealing my family. It's a wrong word. We must cast down the word of the enemy. Not just Wednesday night, not just Sunday morning. It's got to be a consistent walk in a daily battle, even when there are earthly circumstances agreeing with what the devil is saying. You see, the devil will get a lie. The devil will speak a lie. The Bible says, John tells us, the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. So he lies, hoping we believe a lie. Because the Bible says there are those who can turn the truth into a lie because they believed it. And so he speaks, and now through speaking and believing, lies, infiltration, theft, death, and destruction come in. But then God comes as a word to bring life and to bring abounding, overflowing, expanding, healing life. He's coming to bring life in your mind and in your thought. But it comes with the word. Isaiah 60, verse number 1. Oh, arise. Number 1, elevation. Number 2, illumination. Arise and shine. Number 3, proximity. The light is coming. See, if a message is coming, hear me by the Spirit. Let me encourage you. What do I need to do, Apostle? What's requisite now? Position yourself to receive this word. If a message is coming from God, if a letter's coming in the mail, which we don't use that often, we still get mail, but most of the time mail comes from bill collectors. That's usually all that gets in there. Praise God. You want to send me a message? Send me an email. Praise God. Send me a text. But, you know, so most of the time in the P.O. box and in the mailbox, it's just bills, advertisements. That's all, usually. Sometimes you get letters. Not often does a man or woman pick up a letter and start writing that. I like that. But that's old time. Nothing wrong with that. But if you are receiving a letter, there's got to be an addressee. There's got to be an address. There's got to be a location in position to receive. If God is going to speak to you, you've got to position yourself to receive. Here is what the book of Exodus says. Exodus tells us. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 2. The word angel is the word messenger. And God has a message for you, ma'am. I don't want a message. I want a miracle. No. You want the message. Because the message is the key to the miracle. The message is the key to not one miracle, but a miracle anointing. God ain't gonna give you a breakthrough. He's gonna give you a breakthrough anointing. God ain't gonna bring you deliverance for your children. He's gonna bring you a deliverance that's all I can say. That's all I've been speaking for 25 years. That God ain't gonna bless you. He's gonna anoint you to be a blessing. He's not gonna deliver you. He's gonna anoint you to be delivered. He's not gonna free your children. He will anoint your children to be free, but then free other babies around the world. It's not just for you, ma'am. It's not just for you, sir. You've gotta encourage yourself with this truth. Then the angel of God showed up to Moses, and the angel had a message. I want freedom in a nation. I want my people to be free. And you go tell that Pharaoh, you go tell that slave master, you go tell that corrupt politician, that corrupt king, let my people, you don't ask him, you demand freedom for my people. The angel of the Lord appeared in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. God showed up in a tree. The word bush is the word tree. He appeared in a flame of fire, because if we understood this, we would seek the Holy Ghost and to be baptized with fire more than we're looking for money, more than we're looking for a breakthrough for our kids, more than we're looking for our next house and our next open door, because technology, heavenly technology, surpasses earthly technology. I was driving from the home and about to make a call, and the network was down. You ever had that in an area? A tower goes crazy and you try to make a call and it goes straight to deep, 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 and the network's down. And this technology fails. It doesn't always work. But there's a technology that never fails. In this, God sends messages through fire. He sends angels through fire. So God is about to speak. So he puts his Holy Ghost network. You know, in America, different nations have different cell coverage. Amen. In America, we've got three or four main ones. And different countries have different names. They're probably the same companies with different names. I haven't looked into that. But they've got, one, if you're looking for an affordable plan, praise the Lord, you go to T-Mobile, you go to Boost. Praise God. I'm not bagging on all the Boost people. Praise God. It's affordable, but the coverage isn't very good. I had T-Mobile for about 12 hours. I went in, they offered me all this money and these new phones, and that call dropped like 10 or 15 times in a matter of a couple of hours. I drove right back in as soon as I could get off of work and returned that phone and said, I'm going back to Verizon. I'm going back to AT&T. The coverage was not good because it was so affordable. The coverage couldn't go very far. And they have another one, AT&T, which is also a very large, a good company, a little pricey, but from what I know, what I've experienced, the best quality and the most expensive in America cell phone coverage-wise is Verizon. And they have a saying, can you hear me now? And this coverage, how I found this, I would go to camps and preach, and those with T-Mobile had no service. Those with AT&T had cell phone service, but those with Verizon had cell phone and Wi-Fi. So I said, well, it's a little more expensive, but anyways, I'm not bagging on your service. God bless you. Praise God. But this is a network that uses technology, that uses satellites and uses cell towers and uses waves of light or uses waves of technology to communicate. And the coverage comes and goes. And I went to use it this morning and it didn't work. And the Lord said, I've got a greater technology. When the cell phones stop, when the airplanes stop, when the gas isn't there, can you tap into a greater technology? The angel of the Lord appeared in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. See, the fire had to fall on a vessel. It needed to burn on something. And when God finds a vessel, the fire of God produced information, communication, messages could come. Another place in the book of Kings, an angel or the chariots of fire show up, and Elijah gets on this chariot and he's transported into the spirit. In another place, the fire of God falls and it brings reformation to a whole nation. So why am I talking about this? God, through the fire of the Holy Ghost, wants to release his technology. That's all I can say for now. He wants to lose the power of his technology, of his ability to communicate, to change these systems. Are you hearing me? And the angel of the Lord appeared in fire, and then he began to communicate through fire. The glory of God also was a portal. Exodus 33, Matthew 17, Moses goes into the glory, doesn't see the face of God, sees the backside. He's taken to the time to come. The word backside is time to come. He's put in the glory cloud. He's in on the rock, then he's in the rock. God covers the face of Moses because Moses can't see the face of God because Moses can't be born again. And if Moses was to see the face of God, he would have died because he could not be born again. The blood had not been shed in the earth yet. But that's why he that is least in the kingdom is greater. But I'll show you the hereafter, the backside, the time to come. God puts them in the glory, takes them into the future, hundreds of years and hundreds of years into the future. And he appears in Matthew 17 in the glory. And Jesus is transfigured. And now he begins to talk with Elijah and Jesus face to face. There is no time or distance in the spirit. God appears in a flame out of the midst of the bush. And he looked and beheld the bush burned with fire, but was not consumed. It was not earthly fire. It was heavenly fire. It was a realm in the spirit that didn't, it looked similar to fire. It had the similar properties of earthly fire, but this was heavenly fire because this is why it didn't consume the tree. It just stayed on the tree. It just remained. Verse number 3 of Exodus 3, when this angel came, when this messenger came, when this visitation came, when this atmosphere shifted, and Moses said, I will. First of all, he said it. You've got to say, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. I'm going to turn aside. I'm going to shift my focus. You see, the enemy wants you to be distracted. I hear it. I know it. I can feel it. He wants us so distracted. We do not hear or understand or discern the messages. You know, he's sending you messages and we miss the message. You ever missed a message? An important one? You ever missed a text you wish you would have got? You ever missed an email you wish you would have noticed? God is sending you messages. He's trying to get you in position. Moses, I will now turn aside to see the great sight. Verse number 4, and when God saw, he turned aside. Wait a minute now. Moses sees this thing and he shifts his atmosphere. He shifts his focus. He shifts his attention. And when God saw that Moses turned aside, then God began to speak. Then God said to Moses, he said, here am I. He called the name of Moses. Now God starts speaking in order for there to be communication. You don't have to be a special wonder. You don't have to be a great apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher. You don't have to have gone to seminary. You've just got to give God your attention. You've got to make a decision. I want to be used of God, but there is a posture. Isaiah 60, I'm just about to conclude. Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light has come. That answer has come. Now, when that answer comes, you've got to be there to receive it. Now, nowadays in Amazon, they've got Amazon around the world. And if Amazon don't repent, we're going to take that over. I said, if Amazon does not repent and start to serve the will of God, the kingdom of God is going to take Amazon over. Remember, I said it. But as Amazon will deliver you a package, and if you're not there, they will leave it at the door. They don't just make sure you received it. And there's an issue. Something's happening in the nation regularly, not an epidemic, but a rash of people stealing packages from porches. You know, they got video cameras of people stealing, and what they'll do, they'll prank them. They'll leave a fake package and it'll explode and get glitter and light and paint everywhere. And they'll prank the thieves, and people like to watch that. That's kind of funny, but certain packages require a signature. You know, you bought that little battery charger for $12. You bought your little blouse for $7. You bought your little accessory in the kitchen, your makeup brand for $12. But when you really begin to send something valuable, when you really begin to send information that's critical, contracts, when you really begin to send something that has value in it, you're sending a check that's certified, that's a cashier's check. You don't just put it in the mail and hope it gets there. You do something called certified reception. You pay extra to make sure that delivery person hands it to somebody at the door and they receive it with a signature. You know, they got to verify. Then some of the verification, you got to get an ID out. It's so important, this contract. It's so important, this financial thing that's in here. Whatever it is, it's worth such a value. You don't just leave that thing at the door and hope they get it. God is looking for our response to the message. And we're too busy, we're too distracted, and we're too focused on other things. We've now moved into entertainment culture, and now entertainment has become containment. And there's nothing wrong with relaxing and enjoying a good show, as long as it's not evil or wicked or perverse. Got to be careful what we allow in our spirit. But I'm going to tell you, the distraction now is becoming sin. I'm going to say it again. The distraction, even if it's not sin, is becoming sin, because God wants to talk to you. I don't know how to talk. Just position yourself to receive. He wants to speak to you, and he wants to send a message to you that will change your generation. Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, the light has come. The glory of God now rises on you. This communication, this elevation, this illumination, but also this positioning in destiny to receive this word, causes something that's already in us to begin to arise. Where is that in the word? Romans 8 verse 18 says, Romans chapter 8, I'm going to pray with you. Romans chapter 8 verse 18 says, For I reckon and I reconsider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Colossians 1:27 says that God wants to make known the riches of the glory of the mystery to nations. He wants to reveal this to nations, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the mystery to the nations, which is Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. God in me is glory, but it doesn't happen till I realize it. But I'm just little old me. You're just little old you. Who am I? I'm not anybody. I'm just a man. I'm just a woman. I'm just a boy. I'm just a black guy. I'm just a brown man. I'm nobody. No. You are God's chosen vessel. And he put his glory in you to change the world. Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, thy light has come. The glory of God has risen upon you. I'm done now. Verse 2, here is the scripture. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and great darkness the people. Exceeding darkness, exceeding wickedness. Isaiah 5 verse 20, how do you know when God is ready to manifest? When a spirit of delusion comes upon the earth. When those in high places, Isaiah 5 verse 20, cursed, woe. There is no greater word in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. It's transposed from Hebrew to Greek and Aramaic. This word woe is disdained, cursed beyond measure. Woe unto them that call evil good and call good evil. And they put darkness for light and light for darkness. And they put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. This is a perversion in pulpits, the saddest place. And we expect it in the world. Unfortunately, we expect it in government. We expect them to pass laws of murdering children, murdering babies in the womb up to birth. Even after birth, they can kill a baby. It's perverse. It's unjust. It's murder. But they say it's my right to choose what I do with. It's not your body, God's body. No, God bought you. You belong to Jesus. Your maker is, the earth is the Lord's. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all they that dwell therein. The earth is God, but also those that dwell. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. They're all God's. God made, you didn't make yourself. You could say I'm my own if you made yourself, but you didn't make you, God made you. God made your body. God, the perversion to pollute and to contaminate in California now, that they say if up to 8 years old, if you decide you're a boy in a girl's body, they will pay for your surgery to mutilate your body, to cut body parts off. What do you know at 8 years old about your identity? What do you know about who you are? And if your parents don't agree, they'll take you out of the home. Perversion, I said corruption at the highest level. To steal and to kill and to destroy, to destroy the culture of America, the culture of South Africa, the culture of UK, the culture of nations in the world. They call evil good and good evil. There's something wrong with you because you don't agree with their perversion. It is a lie from the pit of hell to destroy a generation. And the church don't want to say none. You know, we don't want to say, you know, preacher, I'm not mad at you, but you can't be limp-wristed. You can't be jelly-boned. You've got to open your mouth and say, well, I may not get followers. You don't got followers anyway. I may not be blessed. No. You got to say what the Lord said. Where is the John the Baptist that rises up and says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from your sin. Cry aloud. No. People don't want to hear that. I don't want a big church. See, that's the problem. Will you say what God says when he tells you? No more and no less. Here's the problem. We add a little bit of our own. It's God's, not ours. We've got to say what God says. We've got to do our best to obey the voice of this gross darkness. Isaiah 60 verse 2, he said, darkness will cover the earth. It will be global conspiracies or global conspiring, global plots of sickness and of disease and of economic systems. It will be global. It won't be one city, one nation. It'll be global and it'll be such darkness. But here is the beauty of God. But the Lord will arise upon you. What hope is there, sir? If you don't get in position, what hope is there, ma'am? if you don't stand up and say, God, here am I. What hope is there for the generation of Esther if Hadassah didn't get up and go before the king? What hope is there for the generation of that was in the time of Egypt? A famine was coming, and God needed Joseph to get himself together and go and speak to Pharaoh and get in position to put a plan in position to 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. The famine would destroy the whole world, but God had a man ready in a cave. What hope is there if there's not a remnant, if there's not a Daniel getting himself ready? What hope is there if there's not somebody who will not bow their knee and say, put any kind of thing on paper you want, I'm going to pray anyway. Daniel 6, a man says he heard the law. Daniel 6, verse number 10. This spirit of compromise and fear manipulates the word to say, Romans 13 says, you violate the Bible because the government says. That has never been the Bible, ever. Shall we obey God or man? Well, the Bible, no, you never hand over your Bible. You never close your churches. You never stop anointing with oil. You never stop preaching the word. Hear me, I'm not mad at you. It's a spirit of fear and intimidation. The spirit. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, when Daniel knew the law was put into effect, he knew. It's clear that it was there. He knew. He went to his house and he opened up his windows, and the Bible says, and with his chamber pointing toward Jerusalem, he knelt down 3 times and prayed and gave thanks. There was a writing put into law that for 30 days you wouldn't pray to anybody but the king. And they tried to snare Daniel, because they knew they couldn't get anything on him. So let's get him by his God. They hated Daniel because Daniel had favor. Scripture says, and when Daniel knew the law, well, you know, we need to obey. No, sir. No. You, before you're American, you are a kingdom citizen. Before you're African American, before you're South African, you're a kingdom citizen. Before you're a kingdom of this earth and UK, you're a kingdom of the citizenship of heaven. You do not bow to the devil's whims. Even if they put you in jail, even if they say, we're going to take your life, you never bow the constitution of the word of God. You've got to be bold and confident. Why? Because he's with you. What would happen if Daniel would have buckled under the pressure? What would have happened? He knew verse number 11. He knew it was signed in the law. I said, go back to verse 9, back to 10 again, verse 10. I said, you know, why didn't he just go home and pray and keep his doors closed, you know? Why don't you just pray with your windows closed? You'll save some trouble. And God told me, son, the world needs a witness. The world needs a, and they may not like it, the world, some of the worldly church needs a witness too. And you need to have those windows open and pray with your windows open loudly for 3 times a day. And Daniel, when he knew, he went to his house, he opened his windows. God told me this in 2020, in 2021, when I was like, well, let's just keep having church, but let's just come offline. People don't need to know. He said, no, you keep those windows open. You be a witness to this world. You be a witness to the world of God. Verse number 11 says, he knew, he prayed. And then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. What a sin. What a vile man. Daniel, they would call Daniel vile for praying. What a lawbreaker. He's praying. They found him. They didn't find him with a woman. They didn't find him smoking crack cocaine. That's fine, you know, because it's personal and this, that's what the world says. I don't agree, but that's what the world. They didn't find him a man and a woman with a woman. They didn't find him lying and cheating and stealing and cussing and smoking. They found the man of God praying. And they said, oh, what a violator you are, because you're praying. They found him praying. They found him calling out to God. They grabbed him and took him before the king. They threw him in a pit and a lion's den. But here is the beauty of your God. The Bible says that God closed the mouth of a lion. The Bible says there was 3 men, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and the trumpet blew. And the trumpet, the cornet blew, and everyone bowed to this golden image, this idol, this calf. Everyone laid on their face. They said, if you don't bow, we'll throw you in the fire. And everyone was afraid. And these 3 stood up and said, we are not bowing. No matter what you do to me, we're not going to bow. They went before the king, and they were his counselors. They were his men, also in the book of Daniel. And the king said, I love y'all, but you know, I'm going to give you one more chance. He said, look, I'm not afraid to answer you in this, king. My God is well able to deliver me, but even if he doesn't, we're not bowing to your golden statue. You know, you can take your statue and get up out of here. And the king, his face changed. It says his visage changed. He became a different man because there was a spirit behind the king at that moment. His visage changed. Now he began to look. Verse number, Daniel 3:19. Actually, go to 3:17, Daniel 3, Meshach, Shandor. If it's so, our God who we serve is well able to deliver us out of this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of the hand of this, out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you that we will not serve your God and we will not worship your golden image that you said. Where is this kind of confidence now? Why is it so rare? Why is it so uncommon? Or why is it not something we see? You know, King, we appreciate you, sir. God bless you. But we're not afraid to answer you in this thing. My God is able to deliver me out of your hand. There's somebody bigger than you. But even if he doesn't, we're not bowing to your God. We're not worshiping your image. We're not bowing to this demon. We will not bow to this spirit. Scripture says, and then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury and rage, and his visage, the word visage is face, changed. The spirit behind the man, the demon, the principality behind the man, twisted his face. And his face changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and spoke, and he commanded that the heat of the furnace go up seven times. Then it won't to be heated. And he commanded those mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, I'm in 20 now, and Abednego, and cast them into the fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats and hosen and in their hats and their garments, and were cast into the midst of the furnace fire. See, when they turned up the fire seven times, there are levels of fire. And Nebuchadnezzar was a warlord. He was taking ground and taking cities and taking territories for Babylon. And in order to do this, he had to raise up altars. It wasn't just a fire. It was an altar to his God. And he understood that the systems of taking territory must happen spiritually. So he said, in order for me to deal with your God, I'm going to turn my fire seven times, because there's colors of fire. There's levels of fire. There's temperatures of fire. And he turned it up seven. But when he hit that seven dimension, the fourth man stepped through that window. The fourth man came through that door. Verse 22 says, therefore, because the king demand was urgent, the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of fire slew them. And that took, so the mighty men were slain by their own fire. God said, I'm about to bind the strong men. I'm about to give the city back to the people of God. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell in the midst of the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He rose up and spake and said to his counselor, did not we cast in three, but into the midst of the fire? He said, yea, king, true, O king. Verse 25, he said, lo, I see four. The fourth man stepped through the window. What would have happened if they said, you know what, you're right, king, and I ain't going to that fire. The earth needs a witness. God is going to teach the fire. There are some men you can't burn. God is going to teach the water, the Red Sea. There are some people you cannot drown. God, he said, the fire will not burn you and the water will not drown you. You got to stand on this word. You got to know it's real in your life. You got to walk in this boldness because he's with you, not because you've got power of yourself. How come I see four and he looks like the Son of God? What do you know, pagan king, about what God looks like? Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the mouth of the burning furnace and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most. See, he's changing his tune now. You servants, he's got a little different message now. Come out. And Shadrach and Abednego came out from the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the counselors being were gathered. All the people of authority saw what was. See, God is trying to show a nation something. Where are the men of boldness? Where are the women of courage being gathered? They saw these men whose bodies, the fire had no power. The fire had no power over their physical body because they served a God who is greater than the fire. Nor was a hair on their head singed. Neither were their coats changed. They didn't even come out smelling like smoke. Nebuchadnezzar, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent, who sent an angel and delivered. See, how did they get delivered? God sent an angel to keep them in the midst of the fire. Who sent an angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. Ooh, God wants to change some of this stuff. I said, God wants to change some of this polluted stuff. Where are the Meshachs? Where are the Abednego? He changed the king's word and yielded their bodies as living sacrifices, that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a new decree that every people and nation and language will speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces. Their house shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver like this. Do you see that there? You understand that God is looking for a few good men. God wants to teach a king who's really in charge. God wants to teach a president who's really in charge. God wants to teach a prime minister who really has power. There is no God like the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, Daniel, Esther, and there's no God like your God, but you've got to know that. I've got to know that. Isaiah 62, we're going to pray now. Here's what the scripture says. Isaiah 60, verse number 2. Number 1 said, arise and shine. Your light has come. The glory of God has arisen upon you. Verse 2, darkness has covered the earth. Great darkness, the people. But God's glory will arise on you. It'll come out of you. And nations will come to your light. Verse 3, and Gentiles, nations, will rise to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Our last verse, Isaiah 2, verse 2, God wants to gather not 100 people, not 1,000 people, not 50,000 people. People get excited about numbers. You got a 2,000 member church. That's nice. Praise the Lord. You got a 10,000 member. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that as long as you're preaching the truth. And unfortunately, most of the time, the bigger it gets, the more they compromise. Maybe not every time, but a lot of the time. In order to sustain masses, you must now please the masses instead of pleasing God. That's a problem. Maybe not everywhere, but most of the time you see that happen. But here is what Isaiah 2 verse 2 said. I'm not going to give you peoples. I'm not going to give you stadiums only. They will come. I'm going to give you nations. Countries will gather. Communities. Whole territories. And it shall come to pass in the last day that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of all the mountains. All seven mountains will see the glory of God. They'll be established. They're not going to visit there. They're not going to stay just for a week. They're going to be established there. They're going to remain there and shall be exalted above all the hills and all the mountains, and all nations will run to it. Many will go, verse 3, and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, the house of Jacob, and I will be taught his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord unto Jerusalem. Verse 3, and they will judge among the nations. They will rebuke many, and they will beat swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword, neither shall they learn war. Now a time of great harvest comes, where people can be saved and delivered. I've got to pray with you. Your light is coming. My light is nigh. Am I ready in position to receive it? Am I positioning myself? Let me pray with you. Lord, I pray over these men of God now, these Davids and these Esthers and these Daniels. I lift them up in the mighty name, and I decree that your work and your power and your provision and your healing is flowing to them everywhere they need it. Hear me by the Spirit. Your financial issue is not concerning to God. Your health issue is not too big for your God. Your children, your family, they're not too hard for your God. Is anything too hard for God? And the answer is no, sir, no, ma'am. My God makes nations, and he makes worlds, and he creates body parts, and he heals the sick, and he raises the dead, and he restores those lost. And we put our trust in you. Now I pray over these men that they be strengthened in their heart, that they be encouraged in their soul, that God, they are your Meshachs and their Shadrach and their Abednegos, Hananiah and Azariah. They are your radical remnant. They are your Daniels who will not bow, but they will rise up and be used as an Esther, as a Ruth, to be a redeemer to many, many that need help, that need provision. So cover them now, strengthen them now. Give them courage, give them boldness, and give them strength, for they're going to change this world around them. God, I pray according to your word that you would heal, that you would deliver, that you would save. Pray now just a moment. God, I ask you to make new, to open doors for men and women that no man can. Pray now just a moment. God, I pray that you work miracles and signs and wonders in the lives of your people, that you reveal healing and restoration and recovery. God, do it according to the working of your mighty power. Now I pray that your presence would remain. I ask you to open up doors for your people, provision and revelation, counsel and mysteries. God, I pray as we get ready to go into deeper levels of glory and power and favor, open doors for them that no man can close. Reveal mysteries to your people. Strengthen each heart that needs help and virtue and prophetic authority. Release and open up manifested power and manifested provision. This I pray according to the working of your power, and we will give you glory and we will give you honor in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.